Hey, welcome to Resonate's Sermon Q&A podcast. We are so thankful for the questions that have been submitted, and we look forward to what God's going to do in our time together. Now, let's begin the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Summer Q&A Sermon Podcast. We have loved being on this team together and just talking about the questions that are coming up in Slido, and I hope that you keep asking questions and voting these questions up. Because, you know, the question that you're asking might help somebody else in our congregation, not just you. So, yeah. In fact, I learned that early on that if, you know, I always thought I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm not the dumbest guy in the room. And if I've got a question, then probably half the class has that question. And so it gave me the freedom to ask questions. And so I hope that's what you're doing. So, hey, my name is Jim. I'm the executive pastor at Resonate, and I'm joined by two guests today.
What's up? My name's Yvonne, and I'm the minister of equipping here.
What's up, family? Christopher, Oakland campus pastor.
The Oakland campus pastor, yeah. And I appreciate these two people more than you know, because they have spoke so much wisdom into my life. So, hey, so tell me, you know, how'd the sermon hit you guys over the weekend?
Well, before we even get into that, I mean, I love the question that you always ask up front of just like, hey, did you leave anything on the table? Like, you happen to be the one that preached the message this time. So
I did preach the message, yeah. So the sermon was Sabbath is Worship, and, you know, it was Psalm 92. And essentially, I said that the reason why people have a hard time resting is because they think the order is that if you rest, then you can focus on God's faithfulness, his steadfast love, and his works, which is true. Like, if you do take rest, then you can focus on those things, and it'll be very rewarding to you. But Psalm 92 actually sets up the opposite order, which is, in order to rest, you need to have focused on the steadfast love of God and his faithfulness and his works. So my equation was, if you focus on the steadfast works of God, or his steadfast love, his faithfulness, and his works, then you will be able to rest.
Yes.
Right? And so it wasn't so much that I felt like I left something off on the table, but I felt like every time I was talking to people after, during, before the service, they were misunderstanding my point. And so I kept on, I think, you know, by the third time I preached it, because we have Thursday night and then two on Sunday morning, that on the third hour, I was like, come on, like, I want you to get this. You know, I really want you to get this. Because whatever bias you grew up with is the one that you're going to lean into and probably the one you're going to hear.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like some people who had grown up in church and had probably heard, well, you need a Sabbath so you can focus on this, were like, oh, yeah, I heard what you said, Jim, like you said. And I'm like, no, that's exactly the opposite of what I said. You know, so I think even today, if I left anything on the table, is that I wish I would have been more emphatic about that particular point. But yeah.
I think one of the reasons why people probably are mixing it up is because we are thinking, I need to set aside an actual physical time to take a break to do this. And you were thinking, I think the way you came at it was really healthy, is you can do that, but you're not thinking about God. You're going to have expectations and striving. You are going to have worries and fears, and you're going to have 24 hours of rest, but it's going to be filled with burden. And so the rest that I received from the message was, yes, take a Sabbath, but a Sabbath moment or a Sabbath posture of rest for your soul and your heart that you can enjoy this world because you're entrusting your life to God and seeing his love and his works. And I think having that posture is way more important, or as important as just taking actual time off, because we don't know what to do with our time off. We just binge watch Netflix or eat a whole bunch of food and we feel worse off. So what we need is time off, yes. But I think what you hit so beautifully is that the way you have your heart rest is to believe that God has been working, will be working, and his beauty is all around us. And that kind of leads me into rest all the time. More than 24 hours of doing nothing.
Totally. You know. Yeah. And that's where the absence of expectations, the absence of striving comes from. So yeah, that's a great way to explain it.
Yeah. Same for me in terms of just even the title of the sermon, Sabbath as Worship.
Yeah.
And so it's like Sabbathing to what end? It's till your heart can sing, till it's on fire for God. And I love that target of it. It's true, like you were saying, Christopher, if my target is that I want to like worship God and see him as the one that's worthy of all praise, that's what's going to lead me to want to rest. But yeah, if you just set aside a time and you do whatever you want. Like, I know what I'm going to choose. It's going to be all the things that got me into trouble in the first place.
Yeah. I think there's a few questions like that in our, in our Slido today. So looking forward to jumping in there. Yeah. Is there anything you guys would have added to the sermon? Like things that you're like, oh, I wish Jim had said this, or, I mean, I don't know if that's a fair question or not, because you weren't thinking about it as intently as I was, but yeah.
I think if anything, just the emphasis, and that's probably what I would have said to some of these questions too, of just when you really see the steadfast love, the faithfulness of God, and you marvel at his works, his power, then your desire to even put your own hand to it when God has already done it so well will just naturally diminish. And so, yeah, when I've seen just like the works of God's hands in my own life or in other people's lives, or like what I got to see in VBS this past week, it's like, I don't need to do anything. Like, he's got it. And part of what I'm seeing too is his works juxtaposed with the things we tried to do and didn't do that well, and yet here's what still happened. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I really don't need to do as much as I think I do.
Yeah. Any thoughts from you, Chris?
No, I think the idea needed to be simplified, like you made it, and not a whole bunch of things, because this is a foreign thing to a lot of people.
Yeah,
Very foreign.
Yeah, I think that whole idea, even what Pastor Ryan said a couple of weeks ago, that God wants you to rest more than you want to rest. And that's what he invites us into. And that really is quite beautiful, you know? So, yeah, I don't care where you're at in the Bay Area or where you work or who you are, you know, whether you consider yourself on the low end of the totem pole or on the high end of the totem pole, like, God wants you to rest. He really does. And it is one of those things that if you rest well, it's going to give you reward after reward after reward. But, you know, again, we'll talk about it today in the podcast, but just the idea of resting is not just stopping what you're doing, because oftentimes your mind just won't stop going. And so I love the practicality of today's questions in that. So, yeah. All right, you guys want to jump into the questions then?
Come on.
Okay, let's do it. So first question, this one got 14 votes. So what's the difference between resting and relaxing? Is there a difference? You want to take that one, Christopher?
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, relaxing is something that's associated with Netflix oftentimes, or some kind of thing to do to take a break from things that are burdening us. Things that it's like pulling away, and oftentimes in the bad sense, it is numbing what we want, distracting us from things that we don't want to think about. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying a good movie or something, but relaxing, I think, more in that category is like that, versus resting is how can I actually restore my body and bring me to a positive point. Relaxing is like negative, I feel like, sometimes, and resting is actually a positive. How can I bring my body, my mind, my soul to a better place of loving Jesus, loving the world around me? Yeah, I think relaxing is oftentimes can be centered on me. And resting can be centered on Jesus.
Okay.
And it's actually beneficial to me, but it's centered on him.
Yeah, it's like the word resting is a much deeper, more thought-provoking word than just relaxing. Yeah.
Yeah. Even in a quick like Google dictionary search, relaxing says reducing tension or anxiety. And then resting, oh crap, I just... wrong thing. Resting talked about two things. The first one was cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. So there's like this connotation of there's that could be different goals of rest. And then the other one is be placed or supported so as to stay in a specified position, which I think is like really interesting. Like when you rest your arm on a chair, like an armrest. It's literally called an armrest. And so I think that rest, like you were saying, kind of brings you into a posture of, it's more like there's a target to it. It's so that my arm will get restored, right? When I'm resting my arm.
So that's interesting then. So relaxing your arm may not be the same thing. That might be just, you know, moving your arm to another place just to give it like momentary, but actually resting your arm is a completely different feeling. So, yeah.
Just real quick, I heard someone say one time, I think it was Patrick Lencioni, he said the difference between Olympic athletes and non-Olympic athletes, athletes are not their strength, it's the way they rest.
Mm.
And it was done through some scientific research of how they rest. They rest at such a high level. They're not relaxing.
Yeah.
So you see how they perform at such a high level is, yes, they train, but they rest better than anyone so that their body can be at a stage that they can perform at such a high level. And relaxing would not get them to that point. So
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that Patrick Lencioni is a Olympic athlete. But, you
know, that's kind of an Olympic studier.
He is an Olympic studier. He's an Olympic writer. He's definitely done some really good research. So, yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next question then. What's the best way to remember God's nature and his works when I'm at school, at work, and places that aren't necessarily edifying?
Oh,
I love this question because, you know, for the majority of my life, I have not been in the church and work. And I was in the construction industry for 20 plus years. And you want to talk about a place that isn't edifying. Mm. I mean, I was joking with one guy on the construction side that he knew how to use the F word in every, you know, it was an adjective, it was a noun, it was a pronoun, like it was a conjunction.
A pronoun.
Like, yeah, it was every, I'm like, dude, you are amazing at using this word. And it really had no, like, sort of, you know, edifying value at all. And, you know, really, to his credit, it meant nothing to him. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like it was a derogatory word. It was just part of his vocabulary. But so I do feel like I've been in a place probably like most of our listeners, probably most of Resne and the people who are listening go to places where they don't think twice about that kind of language.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't an edifying place. So how do you go to the construction site and remembers God's nature and his works? Or how do you go to school when it, you know, when so many people think that school is actually anti-God? You know,
yeah.
But I don't think it's as bad as Christians make it out to be. You know, I think we have this tendency to speak about the "woe is me" idea in some of these places when it's really not that bad. I'm not saying that across the board, but just that's my perception. So, how does it work for you guys?
I mean, I think I start with how do I remember God's nature and His works in places that are edifying. And what helps me there, because even kind of going back to what we just talked about with rest versus relaxation. So if I'm in a place that's not edifying, if I'm thinking relax, then I'm just going to step out for 5 minutes and kind of be in silence where there's no one around, kind of shielding myself from the unedifying voices for a moment. But then when I think about, oh, like, yeah, when I'm at church or in my small group where I actually get to actively engage my mind with who God is by thinking about him, by like praising him for who he is, by thanking him for just how he's moved in like my own life, in other people's lives, then I'm like, oh, can I do that when I'm in unedifying environments too? Wow. And I can't. It's harder. Don't get me wrong. It's harder. But I think it's then that takes that intentionality to, I need to go rest. Kind of like what you were saying with the high level athlete. Like, it takes really intentional, like, action.
I think a really practical thing, this is what the early church did, is rhythms of prayer. I think sometimes we think we have to wake up early, have like 2 hours with Jesus. And I would encourage you to wake up early because that's when most of the world's not waking up. So you have more time if you can. But if you can't, the early church used to pray at 9, 12, and like 3 or 5. They had 3 different times of praying. And I just think wherever you're at, you can do that. You don't need to stop and have a half an hour Bible open. You can be walking and working, swinging a hammer, teaching a class, and stop for 5 minutes at lunch. And I think sometimes we feel like we're so far away from God because we either don't do anything in the morning with him, we just wake up and do our job, or we have some sweet time with him, and then we like, okay, God, I'll talk to you like tomorrow, and we go through our lives. And so interweaving God's presence and acknowledging God's presence in your normal mundane job is so beautiful. You actually can start remembering him because he's there versus waiting for an actual special moment, you know?
Yeah. I just want to add on to that a little bit by just asking the Holy Spirit to make you aware of his presence in the moment,
mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, you know, one of the illustrations that comes to my mind is I was an electrical contractor for many years and, you know, carried a journeyman electrician's license, and You know, I remember like people looking out a landscape and, you know, there'd be mountains and hills, you know, like the Golden Hills of California. And then you'd see these power lines across it. And people would be like, man, that power line just ruined God's creation and ruined the way. And, you know, for me as an electrician, I was like, no way. Like, that's amazing to think about the kind of voltage and amperage and, you know, what was going across those power lines and just how, like, that was an amazing testimony of God's glory. Yeah. And so that didn't actually ruin the landscape. It actually added to the landscape for me of seeing God's glory. And so I think there is a sense in which, you know, the whole earth declares the glory of God. Everything is about his work. So, you know, I've often thought, even if you just had a blade of grass and that's all you had to focus on your entire life, that's it would be that blade of grass is so incredible. Like the way it works and the way the photosynthesis and all those kind of things, like if you can just see God in that, and actually Romans 1 says, if that's all you had, you would still be held responsible for God because that is mind-blowing in itself. And so
see his nature.
Yeah. And so I think that sometimes you just have to spend more time thinking about the things that are in front of you, even if it's just your iPhone or whatever device. I know Yvonne ruins our whole staff group chat because
I super do.
She doesn't have an iPhone.
Screen bubbles, we forgive you.
Everything's green screen. But no matter what type of phone you have, like just looking at your phone is like a testimony of God's glory, right? And you can, it's just like celebrating that. And so I think even just stopping to ask other coworkers, maybe believers, like, how do you see God's glory in the work that we're doing and what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're in an environment where there's literally no other believers around that you know, then ask the believers that you do know, hey, can you send me a text like at 3 p.m. because I just got out of like the hardest meeting of my day. And yeah, there's like war going on in my heart. And so could you just tell me something that you love about God, you know, in that moment?
Yeah, Christopher and I had this great conversation a couple nights ago about just telling people, even if they're not believers yet, that they're acting godlike in their qualities, you know, in as much as they can, because we bear the image of God. And, you know, so even to say to another coworker, a teacher maybe, or a designer, you know, someone who is creating with imagination and intent, like that is a gift of God that you would be able to do that. Like you're acting godlike in that scenario. And so I think just to try and take some of the mystery out of it, you know, where we think that it's just professional Christians like Pastor Ryan or Pastor Christopher or, you know, someone who's working on a church staff team that it's like, no. He calls us a royal priesthood, you know, a chosen nation. We're all a part of this thing and we can all see the glory of God. And so just learning how to push into that is crazy helpful.
Just one quick thing. I think it's so helpful. Back in, I think, Exodus or maybe it's Deuteronomy, God's giving them the law and the covenant. And he says, put it around your wrist, put it at the doorpost, put it at the signpost, do it as you walk, like put it on your iPhone wallpaper or Android, put it everywhere. There's a reason for that. It wasn't just the priest that had to do that. It was family members, moms, dads, kids. And so you can take something, one verse. You don't need to be reading five chapters a day. Take one verse and mull it around your mind all day. You can do that. And I promise you, you will find more rest and encouragement doing that than thinking about the anxieties or your coworker that's making you mad or the burden of your finances. It's like good. God's word does something and you don't need more than a couple words to bring encouragement.
Yeah. I remember one time I was reading something about Billy Graham. Remember the great evangelist? And somebody asked him, Billy, when do you have your devotional life? And he was kind of like, I don't know. I'm kind of doing it all day long.
Come on.
You know, and he's just like, he's like, I open the word in the morning and I chew a little bit and then I go back and chew on the same thing. And then I go back and I chew on the same thing. And so I love that pointing there, you know? And so even if it's on your, you know, it is okay to have your Bible on your phone, mm-hmm. right? I think that's a good thing.
Helpful.
Actually.
Yeah.
It's really helpful. I just think like some of the older theologians, if they could have had the search engines that we have today, my goodness, uh-huh. they'd be like, what? You know, like unbelievable. But yeah, so just chewing on the word all day long, I think is a really helpful thing. So, okay, so here's another question. How to rest despite my urgency to make disciples and the little time to do everything, especially when the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So I think this person is asking, what do we have time to rest on this side of heaven when there's seemingly so much work to do? So what do you think, Yvonne?
Well, I think also in part of that verse, it says, who's the Lord of the harvest? Like, yeah. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. So remember the Lord of the harvest first.
Yeah.
And Jesus knows that he's inviting us into an impossible task for us. And yet he still invites because he just wants to be with us in that. He wants to be with us in the field. And so being in the field and doing his work is more about being with Jesus than it is actually doing the work. Although it is about doing the work too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With that, Mark 4 says, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. and I love that. It's the picture of you can sow the seed. We need to scatter the seed. That's the word of God. It's so impactful, but then go to sleep and wake up and it's going to grow, you know? And so, yeah, just what Yvonne said, I think it's really beautiful that you would trust the Lord to do it. It doesn't mean you don't work hard. I think working hard allows me to rest better. When I don't work hard throughout the week, I actually feel guilty when I'm resting and I don't have the rest in the right framework and I'm resting, and I'm not resting in the right mindset. Like you said, God worked really hard those 6 days and then he could rest well. When we are faithful to do our job and then we rest, we're doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do. We're faithful and then we have limits and so we embrace our limits. Both are part of humanity, not one or the other.
That's such a fascinating thing you just said. I want to ask you this theological clarification. Do you think God works harder on some days than he does on others?
Yikes. I don't think so.
Well, sometimes. If he was resting, then no.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you think that he worked harder when he was creating than he does now? I mean, that's just really fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
Probably because we're screwing everything up every 5 seconds. So he's like,
well, we will cite the other part of Mark 4. He knows not how.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't know what. We don't know. We don't know how it's happening.
Or I wonder if God actually works hard or he just works.
Yeah. It's
like,
probably.
There's no effort for him.
If he can speak and the world can happen, then it's probably not effort. That's because he's so powerful. But he did work.
Man.
Work as in getting the job done.
Don't you wish that missional communities were in season right now so that you could work that, that one out as a group?
Well, the only way for us to work hard is to work a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I think for God, he can work hard without working a lot.
Yeah.
And I think when we put definitions onto that, we're just doing it from like a mortal point of view.
We just say, if you want to make disciples and you're not resting and you're frantic, you are one. If you do end up making a disciple, it's going to be a disciple of another frantic, unresting person. Mm-hmm. That's not Jesus. And two, you probably won't have the energy to actually love the person like Jesus does and the emotional bandwidth if you're not resting. Like, resting is a part of the work. That's why the Olympic athletes are so awesome. They rest so they actually can come back and be stronger. It's really hard to live this life anyways. To try to do the mission of Jesus and not rest is going to be combustible.
Such a great point. My wife is a total introvert, and you know, I'm more on the extroverted scale. And so that's been a tension in our marriage. But you know, one thing that I've had to tell myself over and over again is she disconnects so that she can reconnect. You know? And so I tell myself, like, leave your wife alone for a little while so that she has the power to come back. You know, because if I just keep... You know, if I just keep talking to her and talking to her and talking to her, expecting things from her, it just wears her out to the point that it's not helpful. And so I wonder if that's a great way to look at Sabbath too, is, you know, just to rest so that you can rebound, you know? And so God that's a great thought. So, okay. This next question, Pastor Jim says, Sabbath is the absence of striving. He says it's doing what you want and not what's expected. What if you want to be lazy and not go to church? Now, before we answer this question, I just want to know, which campus do you think this one came from? Is this an Oakland question or a Hayward or a Fremont?
I asked it myself. I'm joking. I totally asked it.
Yeah, it was Christopher who asked this question. So Sabbath is the absence of striving. So it's doing not what you want, or it's doing what you want and not what's expected. What if we want to be lazy and not go to church? What do you guys think? I love this question. The honesty of it is just beautiful.
It's childlike.
Yeah. It's kind of going back to what we said at the top of the podcast in terms of what's the target of your doing nothing or doing rest? Because it depends how you see church, right? So if attending church is just like a general checklist to do, and that is not actually how you are experiencing God. I'm not saying don't go to church, but it's like, dude, like, experience God, you know? And I think that if Sabbath is worship for you and you're thinking about how worthy God is, you're going to want to be with him. That's just the nature of who God is. And it will make, you'll want to be at church. Like, you'll just feel that conviction. So it's almost that if you want to be lazy and not go to church, I mean, I have felt that way before. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes discipline to go to church, but most of the time it's because I want to, because it's like, gosh, it's really easy. Much easier for me to experience God when I'm with, like, my brothers and sisters than not.
Yeah, that's right. When I did the sabbatical last year, 2 months in New Zealand, this might sound crazy to some of you. It's crazy to me when I think back about it, but I actually read the Bible a lot less than most of the last couple of years before that during the sabbatical. And I wasn't planning on doing that on purpose. I mean, I read and journaled and prayed and we did those things, but it was interesting. I felt so close to God because he was on my mind and I was receiving him and meditating on him, and we were thinking and worshiping him through the experiences and the family that we got and the conversations and the awe that we had and the wonder that we were and the rest, all those things pointed to God. And so I did what I wanted. There was no expectations, and it wasn't like the Bible was, I didn't need it always in front of me because the truths were in me. I can meditate on something without opening it up. Like, mm-hmm. I think we put things in boxes, but I wasn't disconnecting from God.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing that if you think God's the issue and you need to disconnect, you're never going to find rest.
Right.
Church and all these things, I didn't go to church because I didn't have a church to go to. I didn't know what churches were. Like, we tried to. So there's times where you don't, but you are able to connect with God in different ways. And being lazy and not going to church in the assumption that it's restful will probably just drive you into the direction of doing things that aren't restful. So,
yeah, I think I would just add that there are godly reasons not to go to a church.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, mm-hmm. or a Thursday night, you know, whatever it is. There's godly reasons for that, and it's okay. I don't think laziness is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and so the Sabbath is really not about being lazy. And when I talk about absence of striving or absence of expectation, I'm really talking about the, you know, getting out from underneath the, I need to perform or I need to be, because you understand that God is, and that God is. And so, you know, the thing I would just encourage all of our listeners is just the good habits, the good disciplines need to be a constant part of our lives. And it's not like, oh, Sabbath, it's my Sabbath, I'll go do whatever I want. You know, like, that's not going to be helpful to anybody. Just like, it's not helpful on any day to just go do whatever you want. Mm-mm. But mm-hmm. to live within the disciplines that God has given us, but then to realize this is his work, not mine. That's what enables us to rest. So, okay, I'm going to move on a couple more questions here. What does Hebrews 4 say to strive to enter the rest, but then the point of the message is not to strive? Oh, that's interesting. So, you know, Hebrews 4:11 says strive to enter into rest, but then the whole point of Sabbath is not to strive. I think that maybe the word strive, at least in our English economy, is probably not the best word there, because it's really work hard to enter into rest, work hard to understand rest. And, you know, there is a sense in which, God is encouraging us to work hard to rest. It's sort of like, you know, you work, you know, hard at your job so that you can enjoy a good meal. You know, and there's nothing wrong with either of those two things. Mm-hmm. And so entering into that. So, yeah, I don't know if you guys have any other.
That word strive means to make haste or to be zealous or eager.
Okay.
So a lot less of I have to carry a heavy burden and toil, and more, you can put it back to the verse, let us be eager or let us be zealous to enter that rest.
And oh, there you go.
A lot better translation.
Man, yeah. You should have preached this message on Sunday. It was awesome, no. Dude.
So yeah, that's a lot helpful. Great. Zealous to enter that rest. I think we're all wanting to, but I think the idea of working hard is still very helpful, because everything else in my flesh and the world is wanting me to not rest. Mm-hmm. And so I do have to fight against things to enter a rest. Like, I have to put my phone down. I put it on Sabbath mode so I can't get texts. I don't have notifications on Slack. So I have to do things that are working hard to enter a rest. I think that's a good project to have.
Wait a second. iPhones have a Sabbath mode?
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah, so Friday, my Sabbath, no one can get a hold of me unless it's my family. And so if you do text me, I have to like filter it out. So I filter text messages, no notifications. Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Okay.
What's the point of having a holy iPhone if you don't even know how to use it?
Come on. You should go to Android. They get green bubble now. Way to disrespect iPhone.
I actually have no enmity against iPhones. It's funny that mainly iPhone users have enmity against Google.
That's true.
Google
We're prideful.
Phones,
yeah.
Yeah.
They're just mad when nobody else uses them. That's what happens. So, yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, I feel like a broken record for sure, but it's what is the object of the striving?
That's
like,
right.
What are you striving for? Because like you said, no one can actually rest in the way that the Bible talks about without putting work and effort toward it, because it is so anti our natural nature. And like to go toward God's nature is supernatural. And so it requires this thing that's not of us. Yeah.
That's why Jesus says, come to me all who are laboring, toiling, and are heavy burden. Like you need to, it's the action item. You have to come to me, which implies you have to leave the thing you think you need to come to me for the thing you really need and to find rest, you know? So I have to leave a whole bunch of things behind to enter into Sabbath and rest.
Hmm. Okay, here's the next question. Why does enjoying God for his nature and great works seem too good to be true and easier said than done? Woo. Okay.
Enjoying God for his nature and great works. Too good to be true and easier said than done. Well, everything in the Bible is easier said than done, so.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
Amen.
It won't be in heaven.
Yeah, one day. This is all,
Yeah, I mean, this is all the result of the fall, is that this is hard for us.
Right.
I would just say enjoying God for his nature and his great works don't seem too good to be true. We just have a hard time believing it, you know? I mean, consistently, I go back to 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly, then we'll see face to face. And I think that, you know, the number one thing that's going to shift in us when we go from this side to the other side through death or whatever means God takes us into the kingdom, is that we'll believe 100% that we are loved by God.
Mm-hmm.
And that will radically change our lives, where now we're kind of like, I don't know. Do you really love me? Are you really going to take care of me? Are you really? And when we see him face to face, we'll be like, oh my gosh, you had me the whole time. And this is why, you know, Jesus says, we pray that your kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, because it's possible. You know, it's just, it's really hard for us to believe that in every moment of every day. But I think that we can actually enjoy God for his nature and his great works.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's part of why it's hard, and we all feel this, is literally everything will always ask you to make it your number one thing.
Yeah.
Every single thing demands your full attention, and God is the only one who rightfully demands it all. Like, not only, and the thing is, he also gives us his full attention. There's nothing else out there that demands your full attention and then also gives you its full attention. And so he's fronted us with his full attention, and now he's just saying, hey, if you pay attention to me, like, your heart will be ordered. And when you have an ordered heart, then like the way you live life will be ordered as well. But it's just anti, because literally there are so many things competing, even good things. Like most of them are good things that are asking you, hey, make me your number one thing.
Yeah. That kind of ties into the next question, which is not arguing with the need to rest, but what is meant by Colossians 2:16-17? And here's Colossians 2:16-17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you with regard to a religious feast or a Sabbath day. And that's such a great question. And I think what the person who's asking the question is kind of getting at is, what does this actually mean when we're talking about the need to rest and taking a rest, but then Paul actually says, don't let anyone judge you in regards to taking rest or eating a certain way or in religion. Either of you guys want to take a stab at this one?
I just think it's important to read the next verse. Verse 17 says, these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Yes, we know Christ is our actual rest. I don't know where we fall on this. Jim, maybe you are different. I don't think, well, the Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments. Jesus fulfilled the law, but we still should follow those things. But what Paul is saying is, don't make it such that you are living by this as in like, this is going to earn your salvation. This is going to earn you closer to God, and I have to follow it or I'm not following Jesus. And so the judgment's like, if you don't do this, you're wrong. That's not, Christ came to not abolish the law, fulfill it. So he is the goal. But can I say, it's very wise to take a Sabbath day. It's very wise to rest in Christ. And this culture, maybe more than any other time, it is very helpful. And so you're not making it a, if I don't do this, I'm not a good Christian. If I don't do this, God won't love me. If I don't do this, X, Y, or Z. That's what Paul is saying. You're not, your Christian security and well-being with relationship with God is not judged on how well you keep the Sabbath. That's what Paul is saying. But you still should keep it.
Yeah. And Sabbath was listed amongst a list of other things. Right. So it's really kind of referring back to, yeah, the Old Testament of like all the different things and the Jewish observances that needed to happen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Sabbath was one of them. So we can't like isolate that on its own.
Yeah. I think in essence, he's saying, Paul, he's saying, if you Sabbath to be accepted, you got it wrong.
Right.
That's right.
But if you are accepted by God, therefore you get to Sabbath, you got it right. You know, and that's the joy. So the issue is Sabbath or no Sabbath. That's not the issue. The issue is the heart.
Yeah. Why are you doing it?
Yeah. Why are you doing it? And I love that Paul says that it's a shadow of the things to come because it points to the rest that he wants to give us.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. So again, like God wants us to rest more than we even want to rest.
That's the beauty of your sermon. I think we need to talk about how to take a 24-hour or 12-hour Sabbath, and that's why they have a Sabbath guide that we're going to put in the show notes for you to think through practical steps, turn off your phone, do things. But I just reiterating, your point was you got to look at God so that you can rest. And if people are taking 24 hours and not looking at God, I've been on vacations before I came to Christ, and it was like 7 days of luxury cruise and all this stuff. And I was younger, but I still didn't come back soul rested or like I felt still tired and exhausted and like nothing happened. I just did a whole bunch of cool things and ate some like unlimited pizza, which is never good for you. And definitely not at 35.
Why did you choose pizza on those things?
I don't know. It wasn't good at all. So
yeah,
I
was unwise.
But
he went on a Chuck E. Cheese cruise.
That's so gross.
Budget friendly, man. It's Martinez, okay? But 10 minutes with Christ can give you more rest than a whole week of vacation apart from Christ. So
yeah. Good.
Okay, so maybe one or two more questions. It says, how do we encourage our spouses to rest? Will we ever be able to tell that they are resting well? That's a great question. I think for me, I constantly use the example of our spouses are like flowers, and you cannot make a flower grow. All you can do is create an environment where it can grow. You know, and so, you know, one, you've got to figure out what type of flower your spouse is. Are they a cactus that doesn't need a whole lot of water, that needs more sun? Are they a daffodil? Are they, you know, what type of flower? Are they a rose, you know? And, you know, as soon as you figure that out, then you can create the environment for them to be successful in. And so that's something that my wife and I have constantly focused on. I tried to disciple my wife the first 10 years of our marriage. That was really a bad idea. Like, don't ever try to disciple your wife. One, they're way smarter than you. So that, you know, so it just kind of backfired.
Can you expand on what you mean by that? Like, in terms of, yeah, don't disciple your spouse.
Yeah. I'm not trying to make my spouse anyone. I'm trying to help Heather be able to be before God and enjoy God and see God. That's all I want to do. I'm not trying to get her to be anybody or change anything about herself. That's between her and the Lord. And I just want to present her before the Lord. That's it. And so I'm creating that environment where, you know, I'm pulling the toxicities out of the soil to the best that I can. I'm giving water. I'm putting her in the sunlight. I'm, you know, putting the right amount of nutrients in the soil. Like, I'm doing all the things that I can do as a husband to create an environment for her relationship to be successful. But then her relationship with God is really her thing, not mine. And so, you know, I think as a husband, I can help my wife rest. My wife had a particularly long week last week, and she said to me on Saturday, don't mess with me, you know, which I knew exactly what that meant. It meant like no intense conversations, like just let me be for the day. And I think I did okay. You know, like I didn't like.
We'll ask Heather after and do a little bonus content.
Exactly. But it's just kind of, and I think that's it. It's like creating that place of rest. So, yeah. You have any thoughts, Christopher, on that one?
No. Great.
Okay. Okay. All right. So last question, how do ministers Sabbath? What's their routine? So you guys just share a little bit of heart, with how you guys do this.
For me, being single, I'm a little bit more flexible, I think, with my time. And so, my weekend days are typically Friday and Saturday. And so when people ask me to hang out or do stuff, if it's someone that I feel like hanging out with them helps me to just worship Jesus more, then I'm like, okay, yeah, I can hang out with you on my Sabbath day. But if it's someone who's not and they ask me to hang out on Saturday, then anyone else who asks me to do stuff or there's any kind of responsibilities, I will push it all to Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I will block off Friday of that thing and vice versa. If that person asks me on Friday, then it's like, okay, I'm going to then protect Saturday. And yeah, on those days, it looks a little bit different each time, but a lot of it is very much like I think schedule really makes me feel burdened. And so I really try not to schedule much. And then, yeah, that leads me to a time to just like be able to like listen to worship music and just kind of lay there in my thoughts and just like think about Jesus, think about my friends, think about just like what's going on and sometimes just napping. Yeah.
Incredibly godly thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Our Friday is Sabbath too. We've been doing Sabbath for a couple of years as a family and trying to protect it. And I use protect it as a really meaningful word because everything else wants to creep into it.
Yep.
And so I used to feel bad not hanging out with a whole bunch of people on Friday. And now I don't, because I'm with people all the time, dinners and early mornings and things. And I know I have to, one, I want to be present with my kids and not having them see me always gone. So I'm there with them and we do fun things like redwood hikes, go to the beach, eat ice cream, go get pizza, like read a psalm in the morning. Like it's really simple things that keep the kids like delighting in God, not just like duty. But I guard it, which is usually me and my family. We might see someone, but usually it's not because every other day I feel the freedom to invest in everyone and be there because I'm protecting Friday. If I didn't have that boundary, I think I would feel a lot more guiltier spending time away, but we honor that. So
yeah, helpful. I love it. I love how, you know, you guys are kind of dancing around it, but just the idea that you're giving yourself permission, you know, just to be quiet and, you know, and I think that's what comes out of the solidarity of God, of, you know, his steadfast love, his faithfulness, his works. Oh, I have permission just to rest and to shut down. And I love that idea from sundown to sundown. You know, it brings us to that. So, hey, we got to wrap up, but we have a great resource for you. It's a Sabbath guide. It's in the show notes today. It's something that our discipleship team and our Res Kids and our Res Students Director wrote. And it'll be a helpful thing, just give you some even more practical tools how to see the beauty of God and in correlation to that, be able to rest. And then I wanted to close the show today just by reading the last question, which is not really a question at all, but it was just something I'm super appreciative of. It says, just want to say thank you for everyone's contribution to this podcast. The added depth through the questions and answers has been so enlightening for me. And I love it. I love the fact that we are able to just, you know, sit here in a room and just discuss these questions. Thank you so much to all the people who have asked questions and, you know, just given us an opportunity to talk about these more. And I hope that you are sharing this podcast with others. But also, you know, you might take some of these questions and just bounce them around at your dinner table or bounce them around with just some friends over pizza or beer or whatever and just enjoy, you know, talking about this stuff. Because, you know, we don't have the end all exhaustive knowledge on this, but we just started the podcast right before we got on. We just prayed and said, God, would you speak? And so the same Holy Spirit that is in us is in you if you are a believer in Jesus. And so therefore you can, you know, have these kind of conversations as well. So,
yeah, I know this sounds super Christian, but I feel super blessed to even be commenting on these questions with you guys because Yeah, I think I speak for all of us that when we get to answer these questions, it's stoking our wonder That's of right. God further.
So good.
And we leave like kind of happy with goofy grins on our faces, and it's kind of weird, but it's legit, man.
Yeah, Philemon 6 says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of everything you have in Christ. Mm. And so it's kind of like as you talk about Christ, you will come to a better understanding. So, all right, that wraps our show up for today. And we're looking forward to seeing you guys on July 4th for our evening service and our celebration together. Wow. And then on Sunday, and we hope you guys have a great holiday weekend. See you next week.
That's a wrap. Thank you for hanging with us as we dive into these tough questions. We encourage you to share this podcast with those in your circles, and we encourage you to share with us any more questions that you might have. Thanks for being with us.